Okay, so I just did a teaching called How's Your Zeal? And I wanted to turn it over to my brother in here to test what I said, talk about it. We're not looking for any like scriptural dissertation right off the cuff, but just a general discussion about what I covered about zeal, what you see in your life, what you've seen, what you think, what you feel from scripture. What say you, brothers?
Very edifying study, very good thoughts. You used a lot of the scriptures that I was going to use, that I would have used. Very edifying, brother. Thank you.
Thank you. God be the glory.
I guess a couple. Yeah, one of the things that jumped to mind was, test me here. Probably the opposite of being zealous for the Lord is being lukewarm or indifferent.
Amen. I would agree.
So instead of judging, for example, every saint can judge their life. How's your zeal? Well, are you in any way lukewarm or indifferent?
Yeah. You're going in the wrong direction of zeal then in that case.
Yeah. And then talking about zeal in our lives, like just some thoughts that jump to mind on how important zeal is. Well, I use this a lot and I'll keep coming back to it. The Spirit of God is likened to wind in John 3, and in another passage in John, Jesus likens it to rivers of living water, both of which are a moving, driving force. And that's zeal in our lives. The Spirit produces zeal in our lives and that drive and that passion for God. I mean, if you're not passionate for God, then you're indifferent. Is there an in-between?
Is there an in-between?
Yeah.
What do you think, brothers?
Can you be kind of half-zealous?
I think you can. Yeah, I think you can. Meaning, you can be zealous in some things and not zealous in other things. So that would be like half-zealous, right? Yeah.
Let me think about that now.
You know, ready? You're a husband and you do this stuff for your wife really good. You're a good husband. And we go, brother, you're dropping the ball right here. You don't do this for your wife? You got to be kidding me. And you go, wow, I got half of it, right? I didn't see that. So you're doing half the job. You're not really not a husband, but you're doing half of it. I think you can be half zealous, meaning you're not fully zealous. Zealous in some things, I think you can. You guys agree? Because here's my theory, ready? Zealous isn't like a place. Zealous isn't like a destination. Zealous is like something that, like, it's like our journey that you're on. And it's the same thing like with holiness. You can be holy in some things and you're sinful here. Now, that makes you not holy in that case. But that's a little bit different category because it's referencing to sin or not sin. Zeal is not referenced directly to sin or not sin. In other words, ready? Hey, brothers, you guys haven't handed a gospel card out for a week. Wow, that's a sin. Look at your sin. I can't say that that's a sin, but you could look at it and go, I don't know, they're kind of lacking in their zeal. They don't hand out gospel cards anymore. But in other areas of their life, coming to the body, they're really zealous. So I think you can be kind of zealous and not be zealous at the same time. Because you have a weak area?
I guess you could be. But it's always better to go above and beyond. It kind of ties into going the extra mile as well. It's always better to be zealous and to go above and beyond for the Lord. Because again, what did Jesus not give up for us? And like, okay, what would you not do for him? Not even what you are doing, but what is it that you would not do for the Lord who died for you? And you kind of know what's killing your zeal.
Amen.
Yeah. What do you brothers think?
I found it interesting that zeal, the same word was used for emulations in Galatians 5, verse 20, when he was talking about things to avoid and whatnot. And I was thinking about pride, how zeal could have, we talked about it a little bit, that negative side to it where you could be jealous of maybe someone else or something else and that gives you zeal. I know Paul talks about emulation.
There is a bunch of different words that can be close to zeal. Because zeal is kind of like an action.
Yeah. Paul talks about emulation in Romans 11:14. If by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh and might save some of them. And emulations, back in Galatians 5 I was talking about, that use the same verse.
Yeah,
word, zealous.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was just thinking there's that negative side to zeal where it could be like a jealousy of someone else. And it's like almost like a pride thing.
Oh, yeah. Zeal can, like you said, zeal can lead you in sin. I mean, people commit murder in zeal.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Paul did.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Hello. Paul did. So, yeah, I don't know if what you were saying, brother there, I don't know if I kind of hit what you were saying. I think you can be zealous in some areas and not zealous in other areas. Is that what I was trying to say?
Yeah, I guess you can be, but my point was more, we should be on fire for the Lord. We should be driven and passionate and alive and fiery for Him and zealous for Him. And if we're not in an area, we need to examine if we're lukewarm in that area.
Right.
Because
absolutely.
If you're not zealous, then you're either indifferent or lukewarm. You can't be in between the two stages somewhere. So you can be zealous in something or not zealous in something.
Yep, I agree.
So it's not so much about you're zealous in this area and not zealous in that. Okay, you're zealous here. You have zeal. In this area, you're not zealous, which means you're either indifferent, apathetic, lukewarm, whatever term that is, and you need to really grow in that.
I think the question is, ready? If you were to ask somebody and they go, yeah, I have zeal for the Lord, okay? And then there's an area in their life where they don't have zeal. Now the question is, how come? Because you have zeal. Right? If you've got zeal, it should, as you grow and you are perfected, that zeal should saturate everything in your life that's good and godly. And your life shouldn't be, well, I'm zealous for this, but not this over here. I just haven't got that right. Well, that should be a focus. And it's kind of like, I used holiness. If you're holy in all areas of your life and you go, oh, I really lack in this area. Well, wait a minute. If you got the Spirit of God and you're holy, you got to work on that area. So that it's the zeal, as you mature, should become well-rounded. Like holiness should be well-rounded. Like a knowledge of the gospel and God's word should be well-rounded. And that all comes as you grow. What about my point about personality? I thought that was probably the best point that hit me. I was talking to Sister Amin about it. It's like I think we equate zeal too much with personality. I mean, look, we're looking at personality differences here. You know, you and I are kind of like this, and these brothers don't move that fast. So somebody from the outside would go, oh, man, those guys are just loaded with zeal. I don't know about those guys. But if they went and saw us holding gospel signs, handing out gospel cards, studying the word, wearing our tunics every day, living holy, somebody knew them, they'd go, oh, they do the same stuff you guys do. You just do a little different. But they do the same stuff. They still have zeal. I think that we got to be real careful, especially when it comes to new believers, and then also about more, I don't know if you want to call it, like some people are more, like people call it charismatic or outgoing or whatever you want to talk about. I think the world equates zeal to that, and I think that's a mistake. Does that make sense, brothers?
Yes. It is a good point that some people are just generally more animated than others, whatever word you want to use for it. But zeal and faith, really, it can come in a sense from your personality just as who you are. But I think the true force behind godly zeal, not just fleshly passionate zeal, but godly zeal, is the Spirit.
Oh, amen. Absolutely. And then, like I said in the teaching, it starts from the inside and it comes in the outside and works. It's just like faith. Faith is on the inside that God gives you and you pick up by your will and you believe in Christ and then you produce works. Zeal is like that. You can have all the zeal on the inside, but if it doesn't come to the outside, there's a problem. It's like telling me you love your wife on the inside, but you treat her terrible. There's something wrong there. Where's that love? I love God, but I don't obey Him. Well, that guy over there told me the other day, he said, I know there's a lot of people that believe in God. He goes, they believe in God. He said, they don't obey Him, but they love Him. And I said, no, no, it doesn't work that way. So if it's in you, it should come outward, right? Out of the abundance of the heart, your life is going to flow.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
But like the question I asked the brothers, then I let them talk on it. If you want to narrow down what's killing your zeal, perhaps if it is, it's maybe ask what is it that you will not do for the Lord? And if there's an area of your life that you're not, that you'd say, I won't do this for the Lord, or I'm holding on to this, that's probably what's killing your zeal.
What do you guys say about that?
Well, sin would quench the spirit. You said zeal comes from the spirit. That makes sense.
Yeah. What would be an example of that? Quenching the spirit that stifles zeal.
You could be timid.
Okay.
You could be unsure of things.
That's a good one. Timid, which is fearful. How about being a man pleaser? That's a zeal killer right there. You don't want to please God more than man. And you go, I don't know if I can do this. They're not going to like me. That's a zeal killer. So all the zeal God can give you, if you don't pour it out in that area, a zeal is like anything else. God's not going to keep giving you more if you don't use what he already gave you. But if you use it, he'll give you more. Like that, like being timid. Yeah, so it's good to identify areas of our life where we go, I'd like to be more zealous in this area of my life. What's stopping me from doing that? And then identify it and then work through, whether it's prayer or study or accountability, to increase that zeal in your life, you know? Christ was a great example of that. And again, I think that whole personality trait we got to get away from, because I see Paul and Jesus and John the Baptist of being very like calm people, controlled people, and yet when the time came, the zeal poured out and they acted out in physical ways, Jesus making a whip and flipping over tables, or Paul rebuking, or John the Baptist rebuking. So, I think that confusion of the worldly zeal versus spiritual zeal sometimes can cloud our thinking on what biblical zeal is. I think if we look in the Bible at the men of God, there's the zeal we should have, and their zeal is always tempered, and you brought it up through faith, and you didn't say true. Oh, you said love and faith, I think you said, didn't you?
I said zeal should be tempered by faith and love,
yeah.
Yes.
And I think also truth and wisdom has it, because if you have zeal and you don't have truth and wisdom, you're in big trouble. That's like, you know, that's like having knowledge, but you use it wrongly. You don't have wisdom. So you got to bring all these things to bear so that it's applied properly. So let's talk about this. So what are some things that can grow zeal in your life?
Well, something that grows zeal for me is actually doing. Doing is one of the best things.
Really? Like experience?
Yes, experience helps. And when you were doing your teaching, I thought of 2 Peter 1:13. Ye, I think it meet as long as I am in this tabernacle to stir you up by putting you in remembrance.
Mm.
Reading the Word of God definitely produces zeal in some people, I'd have to say.
Yeah, definitely.
It's a constant refreshing, and an exhortation by others definitely helps as well.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that. So we read the Word of God, we fill ourselves up so we can get all filled up with zeal. And then what? We go forth and like pour it out by witnessing, handing out gospel cards. And then that comes that experience. So that kind of goes along with what I was saying. It's like an inward thing that God does in you. And then you pour it out to people, whether it's your brethren or the world or whatever. And then you got to go back and fill up again. And it's a constant filling up and pouring out, filling up and pouring out. It's that living water that's flowing out of us. Otherwise, what happens if we fill up and we never use it? What happens to the water in us?
It's stale, it's stagnant, and God will not give you any more.
Yeah, it's stale, it's stagnant. Yeah, nobody wants to drink still water, that type of thing. What else can we do to produce zeal? What do you think, Brother Kuo? You're a new believer. What do you think that would help a young believer have zeal?
Young believer have zeal.
You know, increase his zeal. We know it comes from God and from the Spirit, but I think that people can also foster it in others and help encourage it.
That's kind of where I was going, was like, look to other brothers and sisters as examples of zeal.
Okay, yeah. And like the men in the scriptures, and then it could be somebody you know, yeah.
Yeah, it's like imitating Paul almost.
Yep.
You want to imitate those people that have that zeal.
Right, right.
What are they doing that I can do? What areas of my life can I improve on?
Yep. You had something. I saw smoke come out.
Seeing that God uses you and you're actually useful. For example, when God arranges situations for you to witness, when you feel like a useful tool, you feel more like being a useful tool.
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah, that's a good one. When you see actually like God working through you because of you, you're studying, you're prepared, you got gospel cards, you go out, you're where you need to be, and all of a sudden God has an appointment for you and you go, hey, so that can increase your zeal, right? Do you have an idea, Brother Zels? I have an idea, but I'll let you go. What's some things we can do to increase zeal?
Have more faith.
That's a great one.
Because, I mean, look at our master. The zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. If you have more faith in God, and I love the other brother's points, they kind of took all my ideas there. You look to the godly examples before us. You look to the word of God. You look to the truth, and you pour it deep in yourself, and you have more faith in it, and it just, it can't help. Sometimes it can't help it. It just bubbles over.
Yeah. That's a good point. I was thinking of two. The one I was thinking of was, as disciples of Christ, we have to be disciplined and set patterns. And so I think if you set like a pattern for your life of whether it's a study pattern or I'm going to go witnessing pattern or I'm going to do this in the body pattern, and I think that you see that pattern line up and it creates an environment. It's kind of like cultivating a garden. You want to grow a good garden, you got to cultivate it, and you have a great place for zeal to grow out of. Whereas if you're really inconsistent and you don't do it consistently, I don't think zeal can take root enough. And then the other thought I had about propagating zeal was living in complete and total surrender and holiness to God. I think if there's areas of your life that have sin in them, even if it's just something you struggle with and you're kind of holding on to it, it's going to kill zeal. Sin is a complete blocker, stopper of light and truth and flow, and we quench or grieve the Holy Spirit, and I think that stops our ability to grow in our zeal. So we got to clean out our vessel, and then we can be even more zealous because our conscience is clean. A clean conscience before God, I think, is really critical. If you're trying to drag something along with you, it's really hard to have more zeal.
I can second that. Trying to say anything in a hypocritical state absolutely tears anyone apart who has any conscience left.
Yeah, the Holy Spirit, if you really are a child of God, it's a good way to know if you're a child of God. The Holy Spirit will not let you enjoy sin. He will not let you stay and live in sin without making you miserable. And the Holy Spirit will guide you on what you need to correct. And that, I think those are zeal killers. If we hold on to anything that's not of God, not of the righteousness of the Father, those are zeal killers. If we set those patterns and we start chipping away that old man, or at least putting him down all the time, and not looking back and looking forward, I think the zeal just grows and grows and grows. Don't ever let anybody convince you that your zeal is going to only grow to a certain point and then stop, and then you're just going to, get, yada yada about your faith. It doesn't get that way. The more of yourself you die to, and the longer you live, the closer you get to death, the more your zeal for the Lord is, because you realize this is all I got. You might be newer and you think, oh, I've only been at this a couple of years. When you've been at this for 10 years and you see your life is halfway over, if you live to be the regular age, wow, my life's halfway over. And I've invested all this and I've lost all this for the Lord. Your zeal actually picks up a notch because you go, I'm going to be with him soon. It might be closer than I think. And your zeal actually picks up. And then I do have another one. I think all of us would appreciate this one. You want another one? How to propagate zeal? The more ministry you do, the more zeal you get.
Yeah. Yes.
You
see the word of God come to life when you do more ministry.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you agree with that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Positive feedback cycle.
I'm sorry?
Positive feedback cycle.
Yeah. Yeah. And it doesn't matter if it's like you get people that push back and stuff. It's just going out and doing what God's called you to do. And it's like God rewards you. Child, you're doing what I want you to do. Here's more zeal to get it done. And the more you do it, he backs you up with more zeal to do it. But if you don't do it much, it's like you don't need any more. I really believe that. I believe God gives zeal to people that are hungry to do more. And if you're not hungry to do more, God's going to go, what do you need more for? It's like putting more gas in your car if you never drive anywhere. What do you need it for? You already got a full tank. Go use that. We'll get you more when you use that.
So. Yeah, here's one. Could we say, would I be wrong in saying, you know, being zealous is and wanting more zeal is just like wanting more righteousness?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled.
Yeah.
So do you actually want to be more zealous for the Lord?
Yeah.
Because it's actually a question in your head. Do you want to be more zealous for God?
Yeah.
Well, if you actually hunger and thirst after it and you push for it, God will help you.
Yeah. Oh, well, He'll give you more opportunities. He'll give you, he'll put you in more position. It's a parable of the talents. Two guys that did really good and did a lot for their Lord, they got rewarded with more. The guy that did very little to next to nothing, he got put out. So that's right there. There's an example of they had good zeal and they got more. They got a reward. But I also think that, I think we have to ask ourselves, like you kind of broached on it there, is like, how much do we want to glorify God in our lives? Do we have like a limit of how much we want to glorify God in our lives? Hey, God, I'm going to give you this much. When I hit that level, I'm just kind of going to plateau. I'm only going to love my wife this much. I'm only going to love my kids this much. I'm only going to love my brothers. Like, I'm good right here. I'm not going to go any higher than this. Or is it always it's an eternal scale that we never get to because we're always seeking for it. So I think zeal is like that. The more and more and more you want to serve God, the more darker the world gets, the brighter His light is. So you want to go and you want to do more. So, yeah, I think that's true. Yeah, it is a form of righteousness. It's works. That these are our deeds. This is the fruit that we're of God as we have zeal. And if you look at your life and go, what am I doing for the Lord? That's your zeal. If you're not doing nothing for the Lord, you don't have any zeal. If you're doing things for Him, you have zeal. Then the question is, do I have enough? Do I want to do more? What more do I want to do? Could I alter my life to do even more for the kingdom of God than I'm doing now? And when God, I promise you, if you say, Lord, I'm going to do more for you now than I've ever done, and I need help, He is going to give you grace. He's going to give you strength. He's going to give you more zeal. He'll help you work towards getting it done and resources and all of that. And God will never turn down His children when they ask to go and do good and righteous things. Obviously, it's all for His will, of His will. But yeah, I think it's a good thing for us all to take stock of our zeal. It's kind of like our plans that we put out. That could be one we could all add to our plan. It's like, you know, you could have a million of them on there, but, you know, where am I at in zeal? I could have an area of my life I'm doing great at. There's an area where I need to get better at this. I don't have enough zeal here. All right?
Yeah.
Zeal is, it's really obedience to God, too. It's just obeying God for what He's called us to do. Right?
It's also, let me characterize zeal as this way. Zeal is caring about God.
Yeah.
It's not just obeying Him, it's actually caring about Him. I mean, let's look at the story. You referenced it in there. I'm not sure. I don't think you read the entire account of Phineas,
the
son of Eleazar.
No.
I love that account in Scripture. Picture this. Israel is grieving. A bunch of the people in the congregation are going after the daughters of the Moabites and committing harlotry. God sends a plague. Some godly holy men are praying before the tabernacle, weeping before the Lord for His mercy that He doesn't destroy them all. This guy walks right through the midst of the camp with a harlot, basically, and goes like in the sight of all Israel. And Phineas stands up. He's so indignant and righteously angry, and he cares so much about God and God's glory and hatred for sin. He gets up, he takes his spear, he runs in, and he basically pierces them both through and kills them both in their sin to stay the Lord's plague. And God blessed them for it because He was zealous. Zeal is actually like, it's above obedience. It's beyond just mere obedience. It's an actual care and a passion.
Yeah,
passion. I'm not sure what the
word.
Proper words are.
Yeah.
It's an actual care and a love for God.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a desire. It's a care. It's a passion. Yeah. Yeah, that account is an interesting one. Yeah, zeal and passion definitely are two that go together. Yeah. We see it in Christ. He didn't do that, something like that, very often, but he actually rose up in that physical righteous anger and flipped over tables and drove men and animals out with a whip. So yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so here's a question, just everybody just something to ponder, things like that. Check it, just the kind of a heart check, so to speak, for your zeal. If you see somebody that claims Christ, a modern pastor, a so-called Christian, trampling the blood of Christ, spewing heresy and lies about our Savior, doing wickedness in His name, does it make you zealously and righteously angry on behalf of God that you want to step up and fight against it for God's glory?
I was just going to say, zeal and righteous anger can go real close. Like contending for the faith.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, if you can watch your Savior's blood be basically trampled underfoot and it doesn't affect you, probably need to do a heart check.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, like I said, there's different areas of zeal in your life. And yeah, some things might not affect you. And you go, why doesn't that affect me? And you need to really think about that and pray about that, because it probably should affect us. It surely should. When we see, we're told to earnestly contend for the faith once delivered. When you see people trampling it and we don't defend against it, we're not doing that. We're not doing that. So yeah, it's a good topic for all of us to take stock of. And it's something I think that you build your foundation, and then you're continually maintaining things, and zeal is one of those things that you maintain and you grow. And how about this one, ready? This would be probably my last thought on it. Is zeal something that grows? Well, let's talk about you for a second. You said you and Sister Cara 6 years ago would be the people sit in the back room and never say nothing. So when did your zeal come, and has it grown as you've gotten closer to the Lord and His truth?
I would say my zeal has grown as my faith has grown.
Okay.
The more my faith grows and the more I get to know the Lord and the more I learn about His truth and His word and walking in holiness, the more my zeal grows.
Right. So then that would be a situation where you got brand new believers and you go, I don't know, maybe I don't see as much zeal in him, and they're growing in their faith. That would make total sense then. As new believers, they're only going to have so much, because God does talk about He gives a measure of faith. So newer believers are going to be growing in their zeal then. I would absolutely agree with you on that. I mean, I had zeal.
They would grow, but I would not say that you like, it's not, I'm not sure how I would put this. It's not like you start at the bottom though. It's like when you have zeal, and then your zeal is there, and you are zealous, but it keeps increasing.
Yeah.
It's not like you start from nothing and it slowly grows. It's like, as a believer, you should have zeal. If you don't have zeal, something is probably wrong.
Right, you should have zeal in some.
The longer you go, the more it keeps growing.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I'm saying. So new believers, my point is, new believers are going to have less zeal than someone that's been at it for years.
It could be, but I'm not sure.
It doesn't have to be, but by your definition, you just said it's grown with your faith, and usually your faith grows over the years.
And that's for me, but everybody could be different. Like, it could be. Could definitely be.
Yeah, I think we see that in the scriptures. We see people, it warns about, that's why, like, novices can't be teachers and such, because there's all these progressive things that happen as you're growing. And so I think that does make sense. I agree, everybody should have some zeal to share the gospel, know the gospel, study the word, but then zeal will grow over time as you walk with the Lord. As you endure, as you're, you know what? How about this? I think along with your zeal, as you mature in the Lord, you know what grows? Your love for God.
Yes, and that's actually what I was just thinking about with that.
Your love grows. Your maturity.
It can also go. It should not, but look at the church, the ecclesia in Revelation, that Christ told them, basically, you've left your first love.
Yeah.
So it's not necessarily that new believers have less zeal all the time. You can have like an incredible amount of zeal as a new believer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I didn't say you couldn't, but I'll just tell you my experience. Most time it's not that way. Most time new believers are starting out, working on their foundation, they're growing up, and they clearly don't have the foundation, the zeal, and the love for God that someone that's been in the faith 5 or 10 years and doing ministry. I've never seen I've never seen a new person that has like the zeal of a person that's been at it for a decade in ministry. I've never seen that. Never.
No.
Not saying it's possible, but it's just, that would be an anomaly because you're a babe in Christ. When you're a baby, I mean, how many babies you know at 3 years old know trigonometry? Not many. I don't think any. You know, now there's some 5-year-old kids that graduate college, they say, okay, I don't know how true that is, but that's like 1 in 10 million or something. Most people start out low and they grow in these things. And that's why we encourage people to get going, get growing. And that's why we got to endure, because all these good things come with time. Doesn't all good things come with time? Doesn't your marriage get better with time?
Yeah. I think that's why the doctrine of endurance is so important.
Of course, yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, I don't want to discourage a new believer saying you don't have any zeal. No, you have zeal. But I want to encourage you saying your faith, your love, your zeal, it's all going to grow. And that's what it goes right along with what I've been telling these brothers. The battles they're going to face do not get easier. You know, when I was a bodybuilder, that 300-pound bar, it always weighed 300 pounds. Guess what changed? I got stronger, and I could do it more. Still the same 300-pound bar. The battles they face will always be there. Old relatives, the world, all the temptations. None of that goes away and doesn't get any lighter. They get stronger. And that should be an encouragement. Yeah. That the battles aren't going to increase, but your strength is. Your shield is going to get better. Your weapons get better. Your wisdom gets better.
It all goes full circle, doesn't it? Having more faith, and as your faith grows, your zeal will grow with your faith. And if you want to increase your faith, obey and do more of God's word.
Yeah, it's a big circle.
It kind of just goes full circle, and it grows. It's just, I love the way God, it all ties together, and God's word is all connected.
Yeah, and when we talk about all of this, that's why it's so important also to lose our lives completely. If we don't lose our lives completely, we're holding on to things. God's not going to give us more love, more faith, more zeal. We've got to lose our lives completely to be this fertile, godly, good vessel, good soil, godly, holy vessel that God can completely use. And then he opens doors and allows things for you. But when we hold back, it doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. So, yeah. Any other thoughts on zeal, brothers?
The more you
not serve, not at the moment.
Okay, Brother Purgo said one more thing.
The more you serve the Lord, and the more trials you go through, you see how faithful the Lord is towards you. And I believe it says in one of John's epistles, we love him because he first loved us. So as we see his faith towards us, our faith towards him grows.
Yeah. And that takes experience, doesn't it? It takes time. It's like a maturing process to grow in that. And
if you do more, you see it faster, so you can grow faster.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, and you know what? I'm glad he said that. Maybe I do have another point. Ready? You will get out of the Christian life what you put into it. And if you want more zeal, put more effort into it. You want more maturity, put more effort into it. You want to love God more, pursue God more. The more you do in the name of God, you're going to grow at that level. I've experienced that. I've experienced that. Because I remember when I first started out and everybody told me that I was a novice, right? And when I go to talk to a modern pastor, the first 6 months I was going and talking to modern pastors, I probably shouldn't have, but I didn't have nobody tell me any different. I was going doing it. And they said, how long you been born again? I'm like, 6 months. They're like, you're a novice. Get out of here. We don't even want to talk to you. I'm like, yeah, right. They didn't want to talk to me because I'm a novice. They didn't want to talk to me because we now know they happen to have the truth. But I remember thinking, I'm going to work hard. I don't want to be a novice for very long. I want to gain knowledge. I want to get experience. I want to get better. And Sister Amin and I both like attacked our faith because we did not want to stay in that. And I think we grew quick because of that. Now, we could have said, well, yeah, okay, in 5 years, you know, we'll put our, you know, lean back. In 5 years, we won't be that way anymore. But we like attacked it. So I think you do get out of it what you put into it. Diligently seek the Lord, and he meets you.
Hunger and thirst after it, you mean?
Yeah. What's that?
Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after it, you mean. They'll be filled.
Yeah, well, hunger and thirst, and then he says, draw near to God, he'll draw near to you. God's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Again, it's that covenant. You do this part, I'll do this part. God doesn't say, I'll do it all. He said, you do that, and I'll do that. The prodigal son, he had to be coming home before the father went to him. So that's another way to get zeal, or to get more of these things, is to be more zealous about them. Set your mind on things above more than anything else, and God will fill you up and make it all come to pass.
Amen.
Amen. All right, brothers, we're going to leave it right there. This will be up in the Ecclesia gathering area to edify others.